Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, this feels good right here. Took my mask, I'm more comfortable than you all. I apologize for us having to do it this way, but in order to be in here, this is what we have to do. We're blessed, actually, this week. We have, within our district, there are only two or three counties that are still allowed to have in-person worship service right now, Jefferson being one of them. So we're blessed to be here. It's we're blessed to get together. Had a pretty good crowd at 9 o'clock. I wanted to do the 9 o'clock service for the drive-in. That was really for me because I wasn't comfortable on the porch with people in the sanctuary facing forward. Even though the door was open, I could see in. That was not, and I'm sure it was not comfortable for you all. So if it was not good, I apologize. Again, I wanted to try that. I just want to get... And as long as we can, I'm going to keep doing the 9 and the 10, just because I think we can make both services more meaningful, more people participate, and hopefully get the message by being able to do both, because you know some folks still want to be outside and someone come in. Matter of fact, the sound's going into the parking lot right now in case anybody comes up that didn't make it at 10 o'clock, they don't want to come in, but they couldn't make it at 9, so we're going to keep that going for as long as we can, and I just pray that things start to turn the other way, and when we start loosening up rather than seeing, again, everybody around us tightened up. But I know the Lord is still in control, but it's great to be here. It's great to see you all in the pews. Although, when we were shut down, I preached from the pulpit a few times via Facebook Live, seeing you all. It's in your eyes. I need eye contact. I need that interaction for me personally. And I appreciate you you being here. Again, it's just an awesome morning to be here. Lord bless us with a great first service. And I'm sure is going to bless us with a wonderful service here this morning. It's not unusual for me to do the same lesson or the same sermon twice. When I was filling pulpits, I often did circuits where we preach a couple times a day. Matter of fact, my home church the last few years was on a circuit. So several times when I fill in for my pastor, I would do two services. And I actually like it. Maybe the second one's better. I don't know. I often repeat myself, and so it's pretty natural for me. But also as a teacher, for several years, I taught one subject. And teaching that one subject, I taught it 5 or 6 times a day. And so it's kind of natural for me to do that. Matter of fact, last year was the first year that I taught multiple subjects in a long time. I taught several different things. I taught government, economics, personal finance, and a history class to some 7th grade kids. But the second semester, I did good all year till about January or February, and I taught government and economics back to back to almost, good morning, to almost the same kids. There were a few differences in the class. So I go to my first period class, and I'm ready to roll. I'm teaching the best economics lesson I've ever taught in my life. I mean, everybody's into it. I'm getting ready to do this activity. I mean, we're 15, 20 minutes into the lesson. And then finally somebody looked up and said, "You know that we're in government, don't you?" I said, "Of course I do. I just want to get the jump on it." Actually, I'd forgotten, so then I had to adjust. So sometimes things, so if I mess up, if I start repeating myself more than normal, let me know. Again, if I repeat myself a few times, that's just me. But if it starts to be a habit by doing it this way, just let me know so I can do better. But again, it's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to be inside here. I want to open us up with a word of prayer, and then I want us to affirm our faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed, and then we'll read some scripture and get into the message, okay? Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, just thank you so much for being here with us, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful church, Lord, this wonderful community. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in the sanctuary worshiping you, Lord. I'm so grateful to you, Lord. I know that you're in control. I know that that even though we're inconvenienced, Lord, that we still need to have our faith on you, not on anything else, Lord. And I just pray that everything we do here today in the service is to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's affirm our faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Again, just awesome to be here. Sorry, my cadence slowed down in the middle there for some reason. I don't know why. So it's hard to follow my lead because I did slow down. Hey, another thing, too, we're broadcasting or we're streaming this also on Facebook Live. And if you want to watch it later, the sound when we streamed from in here before was not great. We're running it through the soundboard now. So if you want to watch it later, the sound is actually really good. If you know somebody would like to watch it and they couldn't hear it before, we shouldn't have that problem anymore. Again, I tested the other day, and from everything, the sound was really good. So, anyway, this is again just awesome wanting to be here. I want to continue a little bit today with the theme of a journey. Our Christian life is like a journey. Grace. Is a journey. God gives us grace freely, but we also experience that grace throughout our Christian life. So I want to continue on with that. And then I'm actually going to keep building on this. I'll talk to you more at the end of the sermon about what we're going to do in the next few weeks. But we're going to continue on a theme of a journey and how each day our goal is to become more like Christ. I want to start out by reading from Romans, Chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin. He condemns sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law has been fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things that are of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the reason the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he raised Christ from the dead, will give you life to the mortal bodies, and through his Spirit that dwells in you. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we just come to you to give you thanks. Lord, thank you for your presence here, Lord. I just pray that everyone here receives the message that you have for them, Lord. I pray that your words flow through me, Lord, if not in spite of me, Lord. Again, thank you for this church, this community, and thank you for each person that's here or watching online, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, last week I started out talking about a grace journey, and I'm going to review just a little bit, and then I'm going to add to last week's sermon as we continue talking about our faith, our walk with Jesus as being a journey. again, there's different legs along the journey. And the first leg of our journey through grace, we don't even know we're there. It's that grace that God gives us, that Christ gives us, even before we know that we need him as a Savior. He still bestows that grace upon us. It's called prevenient grace. And the word prevenient, again, means goes before. So even before we know that we need Christ, even though that we may not have never even heard of Christ, he still blesses us with his grace. He still puts within us a desire to feel an emptiness, again, that's only filled by a relationship with him. And again, this prevenient grace, we don't have to do anything to receive it. It's already there. In Romans 5:8, Paul assures us that he says, God shows his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. Again, this is just so exciting because Jesus died for us before we even accepted him. He loves us so much that he took our sins to the cross before we even accepted his grace. In the first letter to Timothy, Paul puts it this way. He says, first of all, then I urge you that through supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings, he's made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life and in godliness and dignity. This is right and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and come to knowledge and truth. Again, he desires for everyone to become saved. He has a desire for us to become saved. Again, even if we're out in the world doing things that we shouldn't be doing, he still has a desire for us to come to that knowing knowledge of him, that relationship of him. You see, he starts to reveal, as we go through this journey, he starts to reveal himself to us. And even before we repent and accept him, Christ, his grace is still going before us. It's still within us. And then we talked about his saving grace. We talked about justifying grace or saving grace, how we can't do it on our own. Once we realize that we have sin in our life, the only way that we can atone for that sin is by accepting Jesus as our Savior. Again, this saving grace happens, it can happen pretty quickly. It happens in different ways. I shared last week that for me, it was an altar call to revival a long time ago. It's when I said, hey, I need Jesus. I'd been in church my whole life. I was 12, 13 years old. I'd been in church my whole life. I knew all about church. I knew about Jesus. I knew how to do it. And my grandmother was very faithful. My parents showed me the way. But what I really had come to realize is I know about church, but I don't know Jesus. I could tell you all about the way you're supposed to do things, but I don't have that relationship with Jesus. And it was at that point that I realized that I can't be saved on my grandmother's grace or my parents' grace or someone in the church grace. I have to accept that individually. And again, for me, it was that altar call. For some people, it's different. But after that, you know, I went through confirmation. I got baptized, and I had a relationship with Jesus then. It was mine. It wasn't anybody else's because Jesus died for us individually. Although collectively, he died for everybody, he died for Stacy. He died for each one of us individually. So our relationship has to be an individual relationship. Now, we need each other for support, but we have to accept Jesus on our own. We can't accept Jesus for someone else's faith. That faith has to be in him through us. We have he freely gives us the grace. We have to accept the grace and accept him for our own. In Romans 5:1, Paul writes, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, during this journey, we need Jesus because we need justification. We need Jesus because we need atonement. We need Jesus because we're going to fall short. And we need that justification. We need that saving grace. If you look back at my life, even after that conversion experience that I had, even after going through confirmation, I did some things early in my adult life, late in my teen years, that, you know, some people that knew me then would think, man, how can he be in the pulpit? You know, because it's... And what I really realized, even though I would stray away, I would go back to God, and I realized how he still has a call on my life, no matter what I've done. He still has a call on my life. He still offers me that forgiveness every day. And as we continue this journey today, I want to talk about talk about sanctification. Sanctification is that part of the journey that we're on pretty much from the time we accept that saving grace for the rest of our life here on earth. Pretty much we're on this step of sanctification. Again, we can't be good enough on our own. The sanctification is how we know the only way that we're worthy of anything is through accepting the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And once we do that, our whole purpose in life, our whole goal in life needs to be become more like Him. Needs to become more like Him. And there's times that we do a pretty good job at that. There's times that we do a pretty good job at centering Christ around our life instead of vice versa. And we continue this journey and we start to walk closer to Him. And there's times we don't do a very good job of it. There's times in my life that I don't do a very good job of it. We let sin creep in. We really forget to repent. We forget to repent. And again, repenting means, hey, you ask for forgiveness, you turn off that sin, you start walking back towards Jesus. And as we go through this this process of sanctification, we have to continually do that. We have to continually ask for forgiveness because we're human beings, and no matter how hard we try, we let that sin creep in. And when we do, that does separate us from God. It does hinder us becoming more like Christ every day. But again, our sole goal should be becoming more like Him. Sometimes, instead of putting Christ in the center of our life and walking towards Him, we kind of put our lives in the center of our lives, our selfish desires, and then we try to have what we know about Jesus circle around our lives. And then in fact, if we have Jesus in our lives, then we can, if He's in the center of our life, and that's our goal, then we become a lot less frustrated. In other words, in John 3:30, Jesus says that He must increase and I must decrease. In other words, every day there should be less of Stacy and more of Christ. Less of Stacy, more of Christ. If people are to see Christ in me, I have to get out of the way. I'm not perfect. And what people should be seeing in me is Christ's love. And again, if I keep letting my fleshly desires, if I keep letting my shortcomings control my life, then people don't see Christ. There's going to be less of Stacy, more of grace. Let me put it that way. So less of me, more of Him every day. And again, it's tough. I mean, this journey, I don't preach the prosperity gospel. You know, I encourage everybody to come to a knowing relationship of Jesus Christ and secure their eternity and also walk this Christian life, but it don't mean that there's not going to be some tough times. As Christians, we go through tough times all the time, but what changes is will we rely on things getting better from? It's through what Christ has done, not anything we can do. So that's the difference. So we do go through this process, and it's a rewarding process. But again, there has to be less of us, more of Him. And as we do this, we start to realize, hey, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. It's with us, it's dwelling in us, and we can use the power of the Holy Spirit in everything we do. But again, there has to be less of Stacy, more of Holy Spirit. I have to start living in the Spirit that Paul describes in Galatians 5 when he says, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these. In other words, as we become more like Christ, these are the things that people should see in us. They should see that we're gentle, we're loving, we're patient, we're kind, we're faithful, we're joyful. Those are the things that come from the Spirit. Those are the things that come from a relationship with Jesus Christ. So as we become more like Him, that's the things that people should see in us. All of a sudden, once we accept Jesus as our Savior, we start to become more like Him, people should see a difference. A couple weeks ago, I compared it to a but-now experience. I was lost, but now I'm saved. I used to do this, but now I don't. I used to be caught up in my sin, but now I live for Christ. You know, all these but-now experiences, and they happen over and over again because we still, again, as human beings, we still allow sin to creep in our lives, and when we do, we ask for forgiveness, we repent, we walk back towards Him. But again, we should be different than we used to be. You see, we should be more gentle. We should have more self-control. We should have more patience. We should have more generosity, more faithfulness. These are the qualities that should be seen. These are the qualities that we should be experiencing. And sometimes it's hard to live in the Spirit because some of the fleshly things we like to do are fun. It's hard to let go of some things. It's hard to let go of some things that give us a fleshly reward because we like it. Some of them are pretty fun. Some of them give us, some of the things give us some temporary satisfaction that we like. But as we grow in our Christian journey, again, each day you should see more of these fruit of the Spirit with us. And as we grow, there's some things that are hard to give up. And giving those up means that you know you can't really see, if we can't give those up, you don't really see the fruit of the Spirit coming out. For me, a couple of areas it's hard to give up for me, I'll just be honest, there's a bunch of areas it's hard to give up. But the two areas for me, we talk about generosity. I look at my time and my checkbook. I'm not going to preach a stewardship sermon today. I'm going to save it for later. But those are the two things that, for me, it's hard to give up because my time is very valuable. I'm busy. But if I can go back and look at my calendar, I can tell you where I placed most of my love. If I go back and look at where I've spent my time, the amount of time I put in to certain things, it can tell you how much effort I put into it. So same way, once we start giving up some of the things on our calendar, we start spending more time with Christ, that should reflect on the things that we do also. Some of the things that we used to enjoy and we used to bog us down and consume a lot of our time should start going away. We should be serving other people and do other things that we do as Christians. The other thing is the checkbook. One of the last things for me to give up on this journey was to let God have control of my finances. I'm a finance teacher. I kind of like being in control. I admit I'm a control freak, especially when it comes to my time and my money. I like to be in control. But a part of the journey means, hey, we start letting God tell us how we should be blessing other people. Or some of the things that we're contributing to blessing, some of the things we spend money on, probably shouldn't be investing our money there. We should be investing it in more godly things. So, again, that's one of the last things that I usually see, and again, for me, it's definitely, as I walk this journey, it's the last two things that I really kind of gave God the control of. I'm not greedy, but I like to be in control. I like to write things down. I like to know where things go. And we still need to do that. But again, God needs to be directing us with our checkbook, our calendar, and all parts of our life. Again, as we go through this journey, we need constant assurance. We need constant assurance. Right now, that assurance has been difficult because the news has not been great. I mean, the news has not been great in, I don't know how long. I'm going to really get into that right now. But we need that constant assurance that God's in control. We need that constant assurance that people love us because we see so many people arguing and fighting and stuff that's what we see. And so we need that assurance that there's still love in the world. We need that assurance and sometimes that assurance comes from each other. It could be a phone call. It could be going to see somebody. It could be, but now even that, you know, is more difficult right now because you don't know. Me being out, you know, it's hard for me to, sometimes you don't know whether to stick your hand out and shake anymore. And I'm a handshaker and a hugger, you know, so it's difficult to do that. So we need that assurance. Again, being able to look in your eyes gives me assurance today during this sermon. This feels almost natural again. So I need that assurance. We need to be lifting people up. We need to be lifting people up because, again, it's a long journey and sometimes we stumble. If we're not lifting people up, we're allowing them to stay on the ground, then we're not giving other people that assurance. When you give other people that assurance, you have that assurance yourself. I am going to repeat something I've said several times from the pulpit in the last year or so. And again, if I repeat something, it's because of one of two reasons. Either I forgot I said it, and that happens a lot. And if it continually happens, let me know. But another thing is, if it's really important, I'm going to repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. So I'm going to repeat this because I want to. Okay, so I know that I repeat it. I know I probably said it several weeks in a row, or I don't know how many times I said it since I've been here. But the thing about it is, sometimes we don't feel the presence of God. Right now it's tough because we are around people less. We're not getting that energy from each other. A phone call is great, but it's not the same as everybody being together. It's not the same as going out and fellowshipping at other places. So when you start to feel alone and you can't feel that presence of God, go help somebody. Find somebody that needs love. Find somebody that needs something done. And show them that love of God through that. And when you do that, I guarantee God's there. That's what he's doing. Okay? You're taking, matter of fact, you're taking Christ to that person you're serving. See, I don't care what you're called to do as far as being a teacher or a pastor or what. We're all called to show the love of God. And we grow closer to him by doing his work. And giving people that assurance, that constant assurance. Sometimes we can have that constant assurance by reading Scripture. Sometimes we need, or actually always we need to read Scripture. Sometimes we get comfortable. We get comfortable in the fact of what we know, and we don't read Scripture like we used to because we think we know more than we know. But Psalm 115 says that his word should be the light of our path. While we're on this journey, the Word of God should be what is guiding us. Again, we get assurance from reading His Word. We get assurance from other folks. And again, the best way to feel His presence is to go serve somebody. I don't debate a lot of theology or politics anymore. I know a little bit about both. But I don't debate or argue. I see good Christian people arguing more now than I've seen in a long, long time. And I like to argue too. Again, I've got opinions. I've got things that I really like to argue about, but I don't. And the reason why is that I've never been in an argument with somebody who disagrees with me and they say, I'm pretty good at arguing, okay? You can ask wrong, but I've never had anybody say, "God, gee, you're right. I've been wrong the whole time." And, you know, arguing kind of fuels the fire instead of calming things down. Same way with theology. I mean, if you look at Christians, if you look at different denominations, we spend so much time talking about our differences. We spend so much time talking about our differences. And one day I'm going to do a sermon on my theology. I mean, it's the Word of God, but I'm going to say, hey, these are the few things that are very important to me, because to me there's really a handful of things we need to agree on. The rest of it, we can have different ideas. We're different people. So much of what we believe, the concrete foundation should be found here, but some of the things that we believe, some of the things we do is because of where we grew up and who we are and things like that. There's, you know, if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you know that's the only way to heaven, and you strive every day to live more like him, and you love your neighbor. Those things are important. If we can agree on those things, we should be able to let other stuff not be so important. Again, I see Christians arguing about certain parts of theology or certain political things, and we still got people hungry. I see Christians arguing over the love of Christ, and there's people that need help. I see people arguing over politics or over the love that Jesus freely gives us. And there's still kids going home at night and going to bed not knowing what their parents are. We have so many things that we should be able to agree on and be able to take that love to everybody we see. Those are the things that are important. And don't get me wrong, I like being right, I like arguing, but sometimes we've got to kind of pick our battles. We've got to pick our battles. There's a lot of things I don't agree with that are not the way I want to do things, but we sometimes, again, have to pick and choose what we're going to disagree on and fight about. Again, I get tired of people. Let's see. I just want to give you an example, but I don't want to because I just don't want to. But again, we can't argue and still let people go hungry. We can't argue and still. I've seen two people argue about the best way to spread the word of Jesus Christ. I've seen people argue about the best way to spread the word of Jesus Christ. While they're arguing, three people walk by that may not know Christ. Okay, that's really what I'm talking about. I can tell you how to do things, but unless I'm doing them, I can tell you the best way to do things sometimes. But unless I'm modeling that, I'm really not doing his work. Again, as we're on this journey, as we become less of ourselves and more of Christ, people should notice. I want to continue, again, this theme of a journey. I want to kind of wrap up grace next week, and then, of course, I'll refer to grace as we go on, but I want to continue the theme of a journey, but I'm going to start talking about ships over the next several weeks. I did a series of lessons on this several years ago with some youth, and I found some of the stuff, and I'm like, man, that wasn't too bad. And again, I've been talking about a journey. You know, these ships are very important. I'm not talking about the ships that you'll see on the sea or in the ocean. The ships, again, they're a part of a journey, but the ships that I want to talk about are relationship, discipleship, fellowship, leadership, and stewardship. And I'm going to put stewardship at the last because I don't want you to, again, it's just a part of our journey. But every one of these, and the order that I've got it set up now, again, that may change, but I think the most important thing we can do is sometimes people need that relationship that we think already have it. So I'm going to talk about a relationship first. And then I'm going to talk about discipleship because once we have that relationship, one of the things that we don't do near as good as we used to do years ago is we don't disciple people like we should. We don't disciple ourselves and we don't disciple other people. We don't give them once they accept Christ, we don't. When I was a kid, I was in doctrine in how to study the Bible, how our theology, and we don't do a really good job of that. I'm not talking about this church in particular. I'm talking about as a whole. We need to concentrate more time on discipleship. Discipling ourselves plus discipling others. The next one is fellowship. Again, fellowship is very important. We need each other. We need to lift each other up. We need assurance from each other. Iron sharpens iron, so we need to make each other better. So the next ship will be fellowship. And also leadership. And you think, well, I don't really want to be a leader. I don't even want to serve. I don't want to do that. We're all leaders. Being a leader don't mean being the pastor. It doesn't mean serving on a committee even. Being a leader means, hey, I lead people to Christ. And as Christians, that's what we're all called to do. I lead people to Chestnut Hill, but I also lead people to a relationship with Jesus. So leadership is very important. We're going to follow somebody. And whether we know it or not, there's going to be people following us. So we need to learn how to be effective leaders on our spiritual journey. And the other one is stewardship. And again, I put it at the last because it is something we don't talk about enough. But again, stewardship is just part of growing a relationship. So it's part of our journey. So I'm going to close here in a minute. And as I close, I just want to thank you for being here. Again, thank you for coming in and worshiping. Again, it's not exactly like we want, but we're getting closer. I want to thank people for watching online. I want to thank the folks. There may be some people in the parking lot now, I don't know, but earlier we had a drive-in service, and I want to thank the people that came to that. Again, we're already at two services. We may be at three services per se. No, I'm just kidding. But again, we're getting closer and closer to worshiping more like we would like to. And I'm excited about being on this journey with you all. Again, as the pastor, I am called to be a leader, and there's certain things I can lead you, but sometimes I just got to walk with you. You know, you go through some things, and we can pray together and stuff. But I promise you, I'm going to be here leading you, but I'm also going to walk with you every step of the way as we go on this journey. So if you're on this journey and you do need that assurance today, I pray that you've received it. I pray that you continue to receive it throughout the week. And also, if you're watching online or you're here and you want to start the journey, please let me know. I'd love to pray with you. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. And again, it begins, it secures eternity, but also begins a long journey where we're focused on growing closer to Jesus every day. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, again, I just come to you just to give you thanks, Lord. Thank you for offering us that relationship, Lord. Thank you for being on this journey with us, Lord. I just pray for each person here or each person watching online, Lord, that they, that each one of us, Lord, we strive to be more like you every day. Lord, that we center our lives around you, not the opposite, Lord. That all that we do is become more and more like you, Lord. I hope that people can see less of me and more of you every day. Lord, again, I just thank you for being here. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord, every day. But what you do for us, or what you've done for us by taking our sin, Lord. Even before we knew that you needed us, Lord, you sacrificed for us. Lord, I just pray that if there's someone watching today or hearing today that they don't know that assurance that comes only through a relationship with you, Lord, that they come to that accepting knowledge that that you are the only atonement for our sin, Lord. I pray for everyone as they go on throughout their week. This week, Lord, that I pray for the ones who've been affected by, which includes pretty much all of us, Lord, that's been affected by this pandemic. We know that that you're still in control, Lord. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Again, just thank you so much for being here. It's good to be here and see other people. Pray that we can do this again next week. Again, if we do it next week, I really like doing the two services. It was a lot more comfortable for me being in here, and again, it was more good. And then I could be outside also for the folks who wanted to do the drive-in. So I'm going to offer some benediction and play some music and talk a little bit. But I love you. I appreciate you. Lord, now just go with us, Lord. Help us be... help us be the vessels that carry your word to everybody we meet, Lord. Help us show that love, that grace that's offered only through you, Lord. Help us show that to everybody we meet, Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.